T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball isn't boring. Well, sometimes it is. Usually when Evan Drellick's talking about it, it is. But not today. Not today, Evan Drellick. Welcome. Long time no talk. When was the last time we were on a show together?
Are you going to play the intro music we used to have on Sunday mornings?
No, I am
you
not.
You can't get that drop?
We've both moved on from that.
The system?
No, it's we just have different things. We're prioritizing different things. You're prioritizing labor laws and I'm prioritizing entertainment.
That's right.
So
with congratulate your cool kid hat. How you doing, fellow kids?
Well, this is Los what is it? Bleed Los, the Dodgers podcast, which is basically like I'm just sticking up for the Dodgers against your mean Houston Astros. Uh-huh. In all sincerity, congratulations on your book. Winning Fixes Everything, How Baseball's Brightest Minds Created Sport's Biggest Mess. It is your second greatest literature accomplishment after, what was the other one? 100 Things That You Think You Knew About the Red Sox or something?
Close. That's the other series of triumph. It's the Big 50, the many moments that made the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. Oh, so should we do like the Big 50, the 50 power rank, the 50 things and winning fixes everything? Should we do that?
We could. I don't know if that would be the best use of our time, but we could. Yeah.
Could you say this? I'm Evan Drellick and my favorite book is Winning Fixes Everything. Can you say that, please?
Why am I saying that?
Just say it. Because I want you to say it.
I'm Evan Drellick, and my favorite book is Winning Fixes Everything.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. Do you know the name of my book that's coming out?
A Damn Near Perfect Game, because I see it behind your head.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Thank you for that creative editing I'm going to do a little bit later on. So there you go. Evan Drellick, you have a book. There are so many things I want to get to when I talk to you about. First of all, how much media have you done? Have you done a ton? I know that you have the excerpts.
Yeah, this is going to be a busy week. I've got a bunch of different podcasts and radio shows lined up this week. And then next week, I'm going down to Florida. But the book isn't out until next week. So I think once the book is out, I'm expecting the next 2 to 3 weeks to be relatively busy.
How about in Houston? Well, how much in Houston?
Well, there was a guy who used to be at the Houston Press who has a newsletter who's already written about it.
Newsletter.
Yeah.
A newsletter. I'm honestly asking this because I'm finding it sort of interesting because, you know, the thing that I'm doing, Joe Kelly isn't really liked in Houston very much, which is fine, but you sort of lean into it. And but for your case, I'm sort of interested in terms of, obviously, it's something that happened in Houston. No one's going to deny it happened in Houston. It's newsworthy because of all the places it's newsworthy, it's in Houston. But are they sort of like giving you the stiff arm? What are you getting from the people in Houston?
No, I've had one of the, you know, there's two Houston sports radio stations. The one that is not affiliated with the Astros has already asked me to come on. I don't have a date yet for that, but I'm sure that'll happen. The Houston Chronicle, I'm expecting, it's not finalized yet, but I'm expecting there will be excerpts in the Houston Chronicle. The Houston's it's a different sports town than Boston. It's very rah-rah. You know, there's...
But that's what I mean. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros flagship steers far clear of me. They, you know, there are hosts there that very, very proudly tout that I'm a big Houston fan, right? And so I'm kind of a foil for them. I'm fodder. I'm a target. It's fine. You know, I'm going on Houston's NPR station. We'll have some nice nuanced intellectual discussions. But look, it's a big city, but is, you know this, as a media market, it's different than Boston. It's a different place.
So you had the excerpt come out, and I know that the Boston Herald picked it up. And, you know, and so obviously in Boston gets a little bit of play because of the Corer stuff.
Sure.
Do you feel like that is, of all the markets, of all the attention that you're going to get for this book? And, you know, everyone should know that this book is about the Houston Astros cheating scandal in 2017 and before, leading up to that. It's very well researched. I'll give you that. Like you, whatever you did, whatever you were doing, your Kumbaya moment out in Joshua Tree National Park for a month, all right, it all came together. But it's very well researched. But I'm just anxious to see, like, besides, okay, you got the core stuff at Boston. Where have you gotten feeling like, okay, this is going to hit home? Is it Los Angeles? Is it you know, is it Houston? Is it, you know, where are you getting some buzz from?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that the LA Times will do an excerpt. That's also not final.
How many excerpts are you going to have? Holy crap.
Sounds like four.
You don't even have to buy the book. Just read all the excerpts.
No, but that's the problem in a weird way, is that the book is so much more than just sign stealing. But, you know, what grabs people and what easily generates the headlines is the sign stealing. And so that's what people keep, you know, excerpting. That's fine, right? It's good for the book to get attention.
I honestly, I'm going to say this, Evan. Like, yeah, like I said, it was well researched, well, whatever, reported and everything else. But we knew that by now, how many more years later, we knew that this happened. Right. We knew that this happened. The more interesting thing about this book is like you said, of how the whole sort of franchise was built.
Yes.
Like that. And, you know, I know that's not how books work, and that's, you know, people are going to take out the salacious stuff and take out the, like you said, the excerpts or whatever. But yeah, well, good luck getting that. Yeah,
well, right. Across. I mean, I'll talk about this for a second, right? There's a bit of a challenge here in a marketing sense. And I'm excited for people to actually get their hands on the book and read it and see these different parts of it. Because it really is, it's explaining the outgrowth of Moneyball, right? Like big data baseball, all this stuff. You know, where did this game go and how did we arrive at the scandal? And when I was reporting the book, there were so many times when I would just, my own reaction, and I'm not that easily moved, buddy. It was just like, holy S, this is wild, right?
Like
this, you know, it's just like the presence of the consulting firm McKinsey inside the Astros offices in 2017, there's an executive in the book saying that McKinsey is basically what led to the destruction of the Astros front office, right? And all these things that, frankly, other people who wrote about the Astros missed.
Pissing on the coverage of the Astros. But here's the problem. You just said it. Evan, you know I'm honest with you.
Sure.
No one wants to... I almost swore. No one wants to hear about McKinsey.
Right.
Right.
Now, some people do, right?
There are
people,
yeah. Some people do. Honestly, those are the people who are going to read the book from stem to stern, because, you know, as I think that you're going to have to weather me pushing my book as well during this. That's too bad. But I thought, you know, Joe said this. Joe Kelly said this, and I agree with this. He's like, you know, less people are reading books. So what's hot right now, it's podcasts. So you almost have to make it seem like a podcast,
sure,
in a way. And you know, but that said, you have to get, you know how it is. You have the headline, you have the subject, you have the excerpts, you have the bullet points, and then you got to suck people. It's just like writing a story in the newspaper now.
I think you're doing that, right? I mean, I think the sign stealing, look, if it's a gateway for people to read a deeper story, and, you know, look, even the science thing itself, if you want to understand how this happened and what happened in Houston, in Boston, in New York, even in Los Angeles, there's a lot in there, right? You can, beyond the excerpts that have come out so far, There's still a lot more to learn
wait for
about
the next 50.
What's that?
How many excerpts? How many excerpts are you gonna have? You keep throwing on excerpts.
Well, how many are you gonna have?
Like one. Like you just.
I'm very excited.
Give him a little taste.
Can you send me a copy of your book, please?
I can. I mean, it's like asking to go to the bathroom in middle school. I can. May I?
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. Why? What are you going to do for me?
Well, when I need to go to the bathroom, you know, I'll have the book.
There you go. You're not getting a book. But, you know, I want to go back to what you said about reporting the book.
Yep.
Because you did the initial reporting. And then my favorite part is, by the way, is of your when you mentioned the caller, the sports radio caller, your time at WEEI with me. That was at the beginning of the book, in case anyone wants to. It's
617-779-7937, taking your calls up until midnight on your home for Red Sox baseball, WEEI.
See, you could have gotten a Pulitzer for that, too. So when you did the initial reporting and then you get this book deal, and then you have to actually research the book. You have to sort of go next level. What was the thing when you did the reporting for the book compared to sort of the initial reporting? What was the thing you did the reporting for the book that jumped out at you? I know there was a few things, but what was the thing that when you sunk your teeth into it over the last 10 years since that you've been working on this book, what was the thing that jumped out at you?
There's a lot of stuff on front office dynamics. You know, there'd been a Jeff Luhnow, who was the GM of the team, who was an ex-marketing executive before he got into sports, the guy was a marketer. He's very media savvy. And it was stunning to me how different the actual operation of the Astros was from what everybody understood. The very basic storyline of the Astros was, you know, it was Luhnow running the whole show and he had his right-hand buddy, Sig Meidel. And what it turned out was that particularly in the later years, there was this whole other faction of people. Brandon Taubman, Mike Fast, Pete Petilla. Petilla's now the GM of the Giants. Mike Fast is a high up with the Braves. Taubman's out of the game. And there was massive internal conflict. You know, there was a person with direct knowledge of the league investigation, as I believe how they're cited in the book, who said everybody thought it was this well-oiled machine. This is a quote in the book. But when you looked in, it was a disorganized mess. And I think the amount of distrust, dysfunction, lack of communication that was inside that organization. And so when you step back and, you know, every time a team wins a World Series, you're going to have that great book. Oh, they're so smart and they're wonderful. And look at this innovation. And it sets up this inherent conflict of they won, but holy crap, what is going on underneath? And what did you do to get there? Who did you step on? And how did you end up in this place where the whole thing went kablooey? You know, and so, like, look, remember the Taubman incident, right? He gets fired after yelling in the direction of several reporters in the Astros clubhouse, ALCS 19. One thing that my reporting showed was that there was an incident prior to that. You know, this hasn't been excerpted yet, but, you know, you pick up the book, you'll read about this. Luhnow, once this happened, you know, he stood up there at the podium in D.C. during the World Series that year and said, you know, this isn't a culture thing. There's been nothing like this has ever happened. That is outright not true. There had been an incident where Taubman had left another employee in tears, but the Astros didn't do anything about it. Management didn't do anything about it. Why? Because Taubman was driving results. He was a very important part of the team. Luhnow didn't give him any attention purposely because he didn't want any teams to poach him. But, you know, the fact that you could have put up a stop sign, you could have done something to prevent this or tried, you know, it was a cauldron waiting to explode, whether it was going to be sign stealing, whether it was going to be Taubman, whether it was going to be a bunch of other stuff. You see how this builds up. And I think that's really the power of the book is you see what was going on underneath. And that stuff, Rob, you know, this is rarely reported. It is very rare we actually get what was actually going on inside those offices.
Okay. So let's do a little bit of the timeline because it's an interesting story, right? But it's an old story. I'm not devaluing it, Evan. Hear me out, because it's more of a historical document now than it is sort of a pathway to what this is in the current state, because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they've won a World Series. They won a World Series without Luhnow, without Taubman, without these guys, without all doing the everything they did.
And they fired the GM.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and
so I guess your theory would be
No. Hold this. Wait a second. No, I don't have a theory. My theory is that you blew through three deadlines. No. Right.
Three. 30.
But it doesn't matter. It's wherever you end up. My point is that when you go through it and you know, I want to talk a little bit about writing a book. Right. And we've talked about this. I remember when you were asking me about should I do the big 50 or whatever it is. And I think I said to you, you know, you do the first book so you can do the second, but you didn't need to do that book to do this book. You did this book because you did the report.
No impact.
Right. Exactly. No, I know. I understand that. But still, as someone who has gone through the process now, it's an exhausting experience. Yes. So you have the. Take me through, you have the reporting, you have the initial story, and then you sort of have what follows. When does the idea of doing a book come about? That's where we'll start. When does the first sort of the idea of a book coming out? Were you approached? Did you have the idea? How did that happen?
Yeah, and real quick, just to your point about it, you know, being history, I agree. I mean, like Amazon picked the book as... one of its best history book picks for February. Awesome. That's really great. And that's like not something the publisher sets up. That's some Amazon editors doing that. I do think it still remains very relevant. A, you're seeing the traction that the sign stealing stuff gets. B, you know, you get to the epilogue and you see.
Well, Evan, the sign stealing stuff gets traction because it'd be like saying, you know, if I go back to the 2011 Chicken and Beer Red Sox, someone came out with something you didn't know. So that doesn't have a relevance to what's going on now. I mean, I'm just calling it like it is.
The rule changes, the labor stuff, the lockout, all of it funnel, you know, everything that created the lockout we just had, right, was Houston based. Right? The culture of analytics and the way front offices are run.
Prioritizing bus rides and like what?
We can have a labor discussion.
So anyway, I'm giving you a compliment. Yeah. I'm giving you a compliment. This is. I think that sometimes these are the best books where you can sit back and say, this happened here. And I know that you're supposed to like funnel it toward what's going on now. But trust me, this is what this is the meat and potatoes of this. So I'll ask you the question again.
Yep.
When did it sort of percolate in terms of doing a book?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
It was pretty quick after the story came out. What the progression I remember was a literary agent had reached out to Ken Rosenthal. Ken is so busy and didn't want to take on a project. And then it's kind of right around the same time that I was put in touch with this literary agent, there was an editor who literally slid into my DMs on Twitter. And so, you know, we talked to one publisher, it didn't work out. Then the one who ended up sliding into the DMs is the one we did a book with. So, it was, when did the book deal get done? I don't know, March of 2020, February, you know,
right in the pandemic.
Right as the pandemic was starting, yes.
Okay. So you go through it and then you basically commit to doing it. When do you commit to doing it? Right then?
Yeah, February, March. Yeah. I mean, look, I knew it would be a massive bear, a total pain in the ass, huge amount of work, but there was a clear kind of question presented to me just like internally, which was, if I don't do this book, Rob, what book am I doing? Right? What story am I better positioned to tell? And do I have this, you know, look, and I, the way that the Astros progression is weaved together in this book, no one else has done, right? No one else had would have had the ability to do it. There's never been an Astros beat writer who's done a book like this. And I was in the middle of a lot of this stuff, right? I was in the middle, broke the science stealing. I was the first one to question the Astros and have, you know, present questions about the Astros culture back in 2014. And so it's really, this is 10 years of my reporting life in this book. It's 3 years of work and writing. But, you know, I'm drawing on interviews from 2013, you know, starting there and then going up through it. So I had a huge amount of material, some of it that was never published. And so it was, it wasn't about money. It was about if the professionally art. I got to do. Yeah. It's just, I felt an obligation. This is the story I am in a position to tell.
When you start, you have the idea, you have the book deal, you know, you're going to do it. You have done the reporting before. And now, you know, you have to sort of take it to the next level. What was the thing that you knew that you had to do? What was the thing that you knew that, like, okay, you know, when you're doing, and you lay it out in the book of like sort of like how the initial reporting was done leading up to the Athletic story. But when you start the book, like, what is the thing that you said, okay, I know that I can dig in deeper here, and this is going to be the thing that I have to get to. And maybe it was very difficult. Maybe you weren't able to get to it even then. I don't know.
I mean, look, there was at least 30,000 words that were trimmed off of this book, and rightly so. I'm sure we could have trimmed a few more. There were things I did want to do more on that I did not. You run out of space and time. Are you asking about a specific, like?
No. When you go into this, you say, yeah, I know that this is a book, right, but I also know I need to sort of really, really dig into this part of it more. I need to, you know, potentially, because that's what this is all about. It's advancing the story that you already wrote, right? Correct? So, yeah. So what was the thing that you knew that you had to advance and that maybe that was going to be difficult to advance?
I think that in the most general sense, it was establishing what the Astros culture was and how that leads us to the science stealing. And I knew that to be the case. I understood generally what it was, but you have all these series of incidents that happened prior to science stealing and then even after with Taubman. And so it was a lot of fact gathering about a lot of different things, right? There's the second chapter of the book is, I think, actually one of the better chapters because it's got Walt Jocketty, who was the GM when Luno first gets into baseball, on the record talking about how effed up that situation was. And so, you know, you go from the Cardinals to the early Astros years to the hacking incident to the Brady Aiken scandal. There's just all this stuff that was there to dig into. And so I really had to just go piece by piece by piece. And it took forever and it was torture, but it was, you know, and look, it was sports investigative reporting is what it was, you know, and it took a lot of work and here I am.
I mean, it's I've always said this, when you get the box of books, that's when it hits, right? When you get the box of books.
It's been really, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm really waiting for the 14th for it to be out in the world because I have kept quiet. I don't know if this has been noticeable at all.
No, right? It hasn't been.
Well, I've been covering labor. I've covered the lockout, but I haven't said much of anything about the Astros sign stealing. I covered news as it came up. I was the first to report on the Yankees letter, and I followed that saga.
Boy, well, you haven't tried to sell yourself this much since the WEI interview. Holy crap, Evan.
You're getting me at a good time, Rob, because truly this is basically, you know, one of the first I'm doing.
Okay,
and this is three years of I owned this story. I know I owned this story, and, along with Ken Rosenthal, and there's a lot that I have to say, and I was waiting for the book to say it. I wanted the book to be presented in totality and the story to be presented in totality. But now it's here, right? And so I'm kind of at a point where after watching other people opine, oh, this is how they broke the story or this is what was going on. No, now I'm finally in a position where I can talk about it comfortably. And it was tough sitting on my hands for 3 years, right? As you're writing this book.
You would, you, we talk about excerpts. And, you know, we talk about people who you have to get to, that you have to talk to and everything else. Obviously, a central figure of this is Jeff Liu now.
Sure.
I gave you crap back in September when you had an excerpt come out.
Yeah.
Right. Why did you have that excerpt come out?
There were timing reasons with the publisher that we thought it was the right time to do it.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So Liu now, what was your, it's interesting because you have to contact all these people.
Yeah.
Go down the list of people, who, you know, the main characters who you've contacted, while doing this book and what sort of the reaction was.
I'm not going to do it. You know, I thought a lot about, I knew I'd be asked questions in this process about, well, who did you talk to? Who didn't you talk to?
No, I'm not asking who give you information.
Right. Well, you got to look, you got to call everybody, right? Particularly the range of people I spoke with, right, or attempted to speak with, very top of the organization to much lower levels, and people outside of Houston, with other teams, people who have specific knowledge in different spaces like R&D. I talked to Bill James. I talked to John Cotter, who is a change management expert. It's very relevant to the book. I talked to the dean of Rice University's business school, people in the commissioner's office. You know, it was really wide ranging.
Speaking of the commissioner's office, what was their sort of vibe that you got from them?
In terms of, obviously, we know.
And people can read the book to get sort of the insight about like the punishment and everything else, the commissioner and the MLB reaction to it. But let's say like when this book comes out on the 14th, like, what do you think? How do you think that baseball feels about it? How do you think? Because like you said, there's no doubting, Evan, that this changed baseball. There's no doubting about this. But how, as they sit here, do you think that they're sitting there and saying, you know what? Hey, we'll tip of the hat to you, but we're moving on. Or do they say, hey, you know, good job? I don't know. I mean, what's your vibe from MLB?
Look, in general, and you saw this with how they punished the Red Sox, right? And you see this whenever there's a scandal. MLB wants scandals to go away. It wants things to be happy and ponies and rainbows. And that's their job in a sense, right? I mean, what would you expect from a sports league? Other than that, you know, you don't want to keep breeding negative attention. I think there are things in this book that will be uncomfortable for teams and people around the league. You know, it's not a book with a ton of heroes, right? When you really figure out what's going on here, there's some people you can get behind in the book, but it's a lot of anti-heroes.
For Rob Manfred, what is the part in the book where maybe people would say is the most pointed when it comes to Rob Manfred? Maybe it's an incident. Maybe it's a decision he made. Give me the most pointed Rob Manfred moment.
Well, I think there's two things. You know, he, as you remember, the Red Sox and Yankees were fined in 17 for the base runner system for
the Apple
getting
Watch.
The signs from the video, right? The Apple Watch scandal. Even though it was a Fitbit, it wasn't, or some other maker, I think in the end, it wasn't actually an Apple Watch, but that's how we remember it. You know, Rob issues that fine and he thinks he's in his fourth year as commissioner, right? 15, 16th or third year. And he thinks that that's going to do it, that, you know, I've laid down the law here. The chapter this is in is called Lines in the Sand. I've drawn a line in the sand, right? If you're Rob Manfred. And he absolutely did not, right? It was a total misread of the situation. And it was the same thing when they put in replay. You can tie all this back to 2014 when they introduced the elevated use of replay. Manfred, when he becomes commissioner, puts out a press release, you know, with a couple things. This is what I want to do. And he talks about, I want to keep introducing technology to the game. And this guy who was really MLB's point person in the PED scandal, right? He's testifying in Congress. This guy who understands the nature of cheating and the way players behave was so blind to what would come from these technological tools that MLB was pushing literally into every clubhouse. And then you get to the punishments, right? And this is what sticks in a lot of people's craw, that the Astros weren't punished. And the failure wasn't at the time the scandal happens and the league does the investigation, Manfred deciding not to punish. The problem was in the years leading up to it, that he didn't understand that, well, if I don't reach an agreement with the players union on how this can be punished, and if I ever am in a situation where I have to punish this again and I let them go, I'm going to look freaking awful. And so he didn't do the legwork necessary, because for the same reason he didn't punish the Red Sox and Yankees more sternly. He didn't think this problem, he didn't understand the magnitude of the problem. He didn't understand the roots of it, and he didn't understand how it was festering. And so, you know, that's really the culpability of the commissioner's office. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what they had wrought.
Ooh, I like that. We use a rot. Excellent job.
W-R-O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah. Thank you. There you go. You don't even need an editor for that. So let's spin it forward to, you know, you're going through the process of writing the book. And then, you know, the Astros, they, because initially, I anyone who looked at Amazon could see this. It was initially, it was, you know, what was it? The initial subhead? You know what it was.
There was a placeholder. I didn't even know.
But my point, I'm using this.
It's never supposed to be the final subhead.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then don't put it on Amazon.
Guess what? I don't do it. The publisher right. does these things. Right?
The point is that in this time when you start the process in 2020 to 2023, so much can happen. And you know, this is at the heart of it. This is why I keep coming back to, like, this has legs, because it's his historical document. But Lou Now's gone, Hinch is gone, all these guys are gone, and then all of a sudden the Houston Astros, without all those guys, ever, you know, I guess doing it the right way, quote unquote.
How do you know?
I don't know, but that's why I did quote unquote. That's when I do quote unquote. Who knows?
And I'm not suggesting they were doing it the wrong way.
Right. But they win a World Series. And then, as you point out, the GM gets fired. So looking at it now, Evan, the Houston Astros, like, how much chaos is sort of rooted from all the things that you reported on before? Not to say that they're doing the same stuff, but when you fire a GM after you win the World Series, it's still some chaos that's rooted.
Yeah, this is what I think is very difficult for fans and for sports writers. You hold up the championship and go, well, that's it. They did it. They won the championship. And there's this whole underlying part of the book that is like, they did it, but how do you care about how they did it? And a lot of times fans and writers don't, but the book is telling you that really you should. And in a way, the cheating scandal shows you that people care, right? You can't stand there and go, look, we won the trophy. Well, something's overriding that. And yeah, the fact that you had Crane fire his GM, who goes to the World Series twice, 2 years in a row, kind of steadies the ship publicly after the scandal, I think is really telling to the leadership and culture issues that exist with the Astros and how Crane does business, right? You read the book, you want to understand why Click got fired. Well, you have all these things that come before it. You know, there's a quote early on in the book from an Astros executive talking about how when Crane fired his first president a year in, you know, a year and a half into his job there, right? He's already gone through two team presidents in his, you know, decade or so that he's been there. And there was a quote from an Astros executive that was basically, this is Jim's style of business. If he does not think you are the right person for the job, he will go out and he will find somebody else. But what does that do for your culture? What does it do for working there? What does it do for avoiding things like major scandals, right? And so I think the timing of the book is actually great. I think it's better to come out, you know, now as opposed to like September of last year, which is really probably the earliest it ever would have come out if things had gone faster. Because, yeah, they won, but what's going on underneath? And you had your eyebrow raised when Click gets fired. Like, what the hell is that? Right?
Yeah,
it's
of course.
Different. I mean, it's weird. And you want to understand how it's weird and what's actually going on? Well, you know, there you go, baby.
Do you think the players get off easy?
I mean,
listen, Evan, I mean, they got immunity, and I understand why they got immunity. but the players,
so this will follow them the rest of their life. I understand the notion,
right? But you know, it's like it's in, but so you said no, and yeah. I'll push back on this. Is that because they didn't have any punishment? There was zero punishment. Yeah, that's fine. It's following.
I think Manfred's part.
And you know, right. and you know what helped them, Evan?
Yeah,
the pandemic.
Sure did.
I mean, oh my, like you know this. Leading into when you get this book deal, that 2020, that's what anyone was talking about for the first, what was it, 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden COVID hit and that all went away. It all went away. And, but so.
Not the chatter, but the, right. I mean, the Astros didn't have to play in front of fans for that year, right? I mean, that's.
Again, another reason why, you know, you can say they got off. So that's what I'm asking is that, you know, yeah. obviously Hinch suspended, Cora suspended, Beltran has paid the price, you know, like Lunau, all these guys.
Yeah.
But the players, the one who was actually cheated, and I don't know what your opinion is in terms of their reaction to it.
Right.
Some guys have said, you know, I'm embarrassed. Some guys have taken some responsibility. And other guys have just said, how dare you yell at me? You know?
I think probably both things are true. Yes, some players or all of them deserve to actual formal punishment. But I do think Manfred is correct that the stain of this, you know, the fact that these guys still continue to get booed, right? Any on the road? Absolutely.
But it's, yeah, sort of.
Well,
yeah. I mean, Carlos Correa now is, you know, was he went on MLB, was it MLB? No, Fox yeah. explained what GM's value and WOBA and all that stuff. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, Carlos Correa is awesome. There's no right. mention of anything that he did. None. Right. So you I don't, this,
people
I don't buy
look
that.
At this with idealism. They want it to be fair. When you look at the history of scandals in baseball or even the sign stealing stuff, it's not really about fairness, right? I mean, you know, when you talk about Cora, and the book gets to this, and this is one part that wasn't really included in the excerpts, but I think it's a really interesting discussion. You know, Cora was right to bat back against Luno because Luno very quickly started to attack Cora, and Cora's like, you know, I'm not the only one doing this. That's true. He wasn't. Cora and Beltran were certainly the flag bearers, right? They were co-founders of the system, but they weren't the only ones using it. They weren't the only ones enjoying it. But, you know, look at the Red Sox situation. One guy gets punished, and everybody looks at Cora, Sam Kennedy, John, go up the chain, right? Is that good leadership when you have the junior level guy, JT Watkins, taking the fall? Meanwhile, Red Sox players pay JT Watkins more than he's ever made in a season, according to Red Sox sources I talked to and the reporting in the book. You know, they take care of him because they know what he did for them, right? And so, you know, your question is born is one out of, well, what would be fair? And what happens in all these situations, it's not about fairness, right? The trainer, John Jokum, if I'm saying his name right, takes the fall on the Apple Watch scandal. You think it was only John Jokum, right? He's the guy who got named, and Pedroia was out there too, right? But it always comes down on certain individuals rather than the totality of the situation. And I do think that's a really relevant question for the Red Sox and Red Sox fans. If you look at Red Sox leadership, they let the junior level guy take the fall. Nobody's going, is that good leadership? You tell me, Rob, you think that's good leadership?
So let me ask you this.
I answer the question. Do you think?
No, I never think it's good leadership when you let the underlings take the heat. I mean, the top guy should always take the brunt. And right. in this case, you know, in some ways the Houston Astros did this, but you keep mentioning sort of the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Fitbit, whatever.
Yeah.
Scandal and it's in the book, but like I'll ask you this: is mm-hmm. that you're comparing the two? Okay, would you say that was equal? Like, would you say like when I'm talking about yeah. the punishment of these guys? Would you say that it was equal in terms of the player responsibility to it for both sides?
So. I have my own opinion about whether severity and cheating matters. I do think it matters, right? I do think you know, there's 120 miles an hour in the 55 and there's 95 in the 55, right? And you can, you know, those numbers are all movable. I also think it would be fair for somebody to sit there and go, you know what? You're breaking the rules. Cheating is cheating. I don't care how extreme or little you're doing it. You're flaunting the rules, flouting the rules. And, you know, I think that's a fair opinion for people to take.
So,
if
the Astros, so what were the Astros traveling and what were the Red Sox and Yankees traveling?
Yeah, the Astros were traveling, you know, 120, right? And the Red Sox and Yankees were doing the 95. I think it's probably the way to put it. Or it's 100 and 130, right? You know, this is not a perfect science. That's how I would look at it. But if somebody wanted to stand there and say, I think any cheating is cheating, I'm not going to begrudge them that.
So when the Astros faced the Yankees and Red Sox,
right?
Okay, 2017. Who, and obviously the Astros win. So who has the advantage? Like who has reaped the benefits of the chicanery more of those teams? Do you think there's just like there was just cheating all over the place, or do you think that what the Astros were doing? Do you think the Astros, what they did in 2017, would they have won without doing that?
The tragedy and the crime here is that they have given us so many reasons to ask that question, right? Nobody, Rob, can answer that question. But that's the problem, is that they've opened the door to it. They've given reason for people to doubt what they see on the field. And the book goes into this, you know, your question about 18. When you're starting to, a little bit depends on what years and specifics you're talking about. The 2018 playoffs, there's a chapter in the book, and it's referring to a quote from somebody involved with one of these teams that, you know, you get to the playoffs, everybody knows what everybody else is doing. In the regular season, it's a lion and a deer. The best teams in 18, and certainly in 17, you know, we're probably all doing some of that base runner system, the video room to dugout, to runner on base. But where the Astros took it to such an extreme, I think it is important for people to understand, you know, you get all these players going, oh, everything, this was happening everywhere. We have no firsthand accounts of something on the Astros level happening everywhere. We have the base runner system, which the Astros did on the road, but the total lack of involvement of a runner on base, setting up the camera and then just directly communicating it to that hitter, literally what pitch is coming every time without a runner on base, that is different. That doesn't mean it's impossible another team is doing that, Rob. You never know. And that's the crime of the whole thing, is that now everybody goes, well, I wonder what was going on here. I wonder what was going on there. But, you know, I balk when people say, oh, everybody was doing it. Go get it. If you're a media member, go find the firsthand sources, right? Ken and I were able to find two teams with firsthand sourcing, meaning people on the inside who acknowledged we did this. Everything else has been people on the outside pointing fingers. And in the book, there's firsthand sourcing about the Dodgers as well, using a base runner system. So that's my overview of how to look at the league-wide stuff.
What's your favorite part of a damn near perfect game?
Well, when you send it to me and I'll tell you.
Let's see.
Well, you tell me how much of sign stealing stuff is in your book.
That's not what the book is about.
You don't have any of the Joe Kelly Astros.
It's not what the book is about. Oh yeah, of course, of course. Well, no, I mean the part is the book begins with the whole like thing with Correa.
Ah, oh, yeah. So yours is a history book too, huh?
No.
Oh
no, it's basically using in that instance to show you how emotions everything.
Why didn't you get that out sooner?
Are you gonna let me talk? You're going to let me talk? Everything relates back to the glorious game of baseball.
That's right.
And as Joe Kelly says in the book, he looked over at Carlos Correa and saw this snotty-nosed AAU kid, you know, the spoiled AAU kid. And that's right. What you do to that kid. You give him a pout. And so there you go. And boom, you're on your way to literary excellence.
That's right.
What is your favorite part of your book, if you're not going to name the favorite part of my book?
Honestly, I think the ending is poignant for me. It wraps a bow on, you know, what the cost of what the Astros did was, it shines some light on what really goes on in these front offices. I kept coming back to that. You know, I found it to be succinct and kind of powerful, frankly. But you know, we'll see. We'll see what people enjoy, and hopefully they do read to the end.
It was weird. The last line said, "Good luck winning another World Series, Houston Astros." That was bizarre. That was
and if strange. They win another World Series, I guess everything is fixed, right, buddy? That's the whole trick. You hold up the damn trophy, and that's it. And perfect. Let's write a book.
You've gotten to this point. Are you looking forward to the next couple of weeks?
Yeah,
You had your book party, which I boycotted.
Yeah.
But are you looking forward to it?
It's been, as I was kind of touching on earlier, it's been difficult waiting to have this story out in the world, right? To have the full picture, the researched picture that nobody else has. And I don't think many people could possibly understand without kind of going through this research and reporting. I want people to understand the full picture. And that's really what I'm looking forward to. I want people to be able to read the whole thing. And the people who have so far, you know, it's wild, right? I think there are some wows I get, and that's not a bit about complimenting my reporting. It's about, holy crap, this is what was going on here. Somebody with the Astros, said to me they learned something new every, you know, 15 pages, and I think that's a pretty high compliment.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, there you go. Congratulations on writing the book.
Thanks, Rob.
Congratulations. Even though you say you want to, you reveal all this stuff, and you won't tell me why you released the expert in September.
Are we competitors?
No, man. Like, no, you're basically the warm up back for February 28th. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm the opener.
You're the opener. But in all sincerity, I know how difficult the whole process is, and for something like this, there is that sense of, and I know what you're saying about you wanting to talk about it. You get the books in your hand, you have the book party, you get the attaboys and all of that. I mean, this is the payoff. And so soak back and enjoy it, because in about 2 months, I'll be back ripping you. When's the sequel?
I don't know, man. I need, you know, this took up the age 32 to 35 years of my life. I've been joking with people, and I think there's a kernel of truth in this. Everybody else around me, kind of in my age bracket, is either married, has a kid, or has a house, or some combination.
Are you blaming the book for this?
And I've got a book, right? Yeah. And so I'm ready, Rob, to keep doing great work for The Athletic. You know, if another book deal comes up, great. But it's time to kind of do some of the things I didn't get to do the last 3 years. So
who's playing you in the movie?
People say I look like Ben Platt, you know, or Ben Platt looks like me, I should say, the guy from Dear Evan Hansen. I don't know. Yeah, John Malkovich, if he was younger. I've gotten that I'm a younger guy.
I think a current John Malkovich, I think that would be applicable.
Yeah? He's a little older than I am.
After writing a book, you'll know what I mean. All right. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.